This is the TTY Dialer, episode 33, for the week of June 12th through June 17th. Hello, welcome to another weekly companion to WRVO's old-time radio show tuned to yesterday. I'm Mark Livonier, and every night of the week on the air and online where we stream live, I bring you mystery, comedy, drama, thrills, science fiction, westerns, romance, and more from the golden age of radio. And in this podcast, I bring you a blend of radio history, fun with sound from the past, and a look at the shows coming up for this week on Tune to Yesterday.
Well, boys and girls, you know what a password is. That's a secret word that soldiers use to get past the sentry and up to the front. Well, here's a password that will get you up to the front in bike races, on the baseball diamond, in all kinds of games. It's energy. You see, the faster you go, the more energy you need. So if you want to win, you have to have lots of energy. And the swellest way I know to get it is just by eating delicious chocolatey Tootsie Rolls. Boy, they're cram jam full of energy. More energy units in one penny Tootsie Roll than you use circling the bases 36 times or when you're riding your bike 3 whole miles. And it's fast energy. Why, no sooner do you pop a Tootsie Roll in your mouth than you can practically feel new strength in your muscles. And what's more, Tootsie Rolls are good, wholesome food. They're made with plenty of nourishing bodybuilding milk. So next time you have a penny to spend, or a nickel, well, if you have a nickel, get the big jumbo-sized Tootsie Roll. And don't forget, the long-lasting penny Tootsie Rolls give you a lot for your money, too. A penny Tootsie Roll is still only a penny. A nickel Tootsie Roll is still 5 cents.
That commercial for Tootsie Rolls, taken from the Dick Tracy radio series, just one medium that Chester Gould's character was featured in. He had a start in comic strips and later the movies and on radio. The famous detective used his futuristic crime-fighting gadgets against the cast of surreal villains with names like Flat Top, Mumbles, Pruneface, Big Boy, and of course his biggest enemy, Vitamin Flintheart. The radio series maintained popularity on the air just as it did in the weekly comic strip seen in over 700 newspapers. And for about 12 years, the show was broadcast in a 15- and 30-minute format. And with those half-hour versions and a nod to the sponsor, they took on the theme song of Toot Toot Tootsie. And one of the gadgets Dick Tracy used, as you probably remember, was a very forward-thinking innovation at that time, a radio wristwatch, which he used to communicate with his associates. And in the 1940s, there was a marketed product of his famous watch that was a miniature radio inside a watch that could receive AM radio signals. But there was a catch. It was suggested that you get better reception if you hooked up an aerial antenna and ground, or use a wire as a speaker extension. So it seems to me this catch would be a little heavy-handed, or at the very least, heavy-wristed. This Monday, June 12th, on Tune to Yesterday, we have an hour of comedy from episodes of The Bob Hope Show and the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players with an adaptation of the movie The Philadelphia Story.
What's happened to your chin?
My chin? Oh, well, you see...
Tracy, I didn't get to tell you. When Mr. Connor came out again, George was waiting for him.
No.
Yes. And Mr. Connor sort of got hit on the chin.
George?
No, me.
You, Dex, you were there too? Good grief, why didn't you sell tickets?
I'll say Dexter was there. What a clip he gave me.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Mike. I thought I'd better hit you before George did. He's in better shape than I am.
At 11 o'clock Monday night, true history from the Cavalcade of America, then a montage of World War II coverage from NBC. This Tuesday night, June 13th at 10 o'clock on the air, it's drama from the Lux Radio Theater, then crime from both Suspense and the Screen Director's Playhouse, with that famous movie called Northside 777 in sound from 1949. Hear these shows this Monday, June 12th, and Tuesday, June 13th, from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. During radio's yesteryear, there were many who played their individual roles as director, producer, actor, or writer, but few who could masterfully take on all of these roles, and if they did, at least in the industry, they were considered among radio's royalty. Elliot Lewis was one such player who brought a really versatile touch to comedy, drama, and suspense, and was in some ways in a class of his own. This Thursday, June 15th in 1953, as director, Lewis gave listeners the chance to go to class as students of crime, with cases extracted from the pages of history, some deeper than others, in the series Crime Classics. Among some of the true crime stories, as the show put it, of every land and every time, some of them hadn't been told for centuries. From scandal and murder in the Middle Ages to obscure cases from the Victorian age, it really was an historic travelogue of crime. And the capable hands of Elliot Lewis reached beyond the radio studio for this series, as he was a collector and researcher of criminality as a hobby. He had a collection of texts and some artifacts that rivaled some small museums. So what he would do for the show is reference his personal library, much of which held the source documents of the crimes he brought forth, and adapted them with the prestigious writing team of Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Together, they produced a program that was as much grisly as it was kind of humorous, employing that light touch to some of the more unnerving details that really struck a listenable balance. It was hosted by actor Lou Merrill, who took on the persona of Thomas Highland, a connoisseur of crime who had a passion for cases from history and not a stranger to sarcasm or double entendre. And though many horror programs on the air at that time, like Inner Sanctum and The Whistler, employed a style of humor amongst the horror, there was a sophistication in the sound of the Crime Classic series, which, with a minimalist score from famed composer Bernard Herrmann, usually opened with a curious sound to draw you into the story at hand.
Listen. The man is nailing a horse's picture to the wall. The horse is pawing the western skies in the classic attitude of pawing horses, and it is the top half of a calendar distributed by Isaac's Livery. It's a hot April day in St. Joseph, Missouri, in the year 1882, and the man is hanging the picture in his living room because he has a fondness for the noble beast. Horses have gotten him out of many a critical situation, such as 1, holding up railroads, 2, robbing banks, 3, murdering fellows. His name is Jesse James. And as soon as he finishes hanging that picture, a friend of his is going to shoot the back of his head off.
Here's some more sound now from Crime Classics and the story The General's Daughter, The Tsar's Lieutenant, and The Linen Closet, A Russian Tragedy, a tale from 1796.
Fyodor.
Yes?
I am happy you are back from hunting the boar.
As am I.
Fyodor.
Yes, little apple.
What's to become of us?
Life goes on, little apple.
In truth, did he say that?
What?
My father said I would marry Vasily Vasilovich.
Truth, when you are 18.
But Vasily Vasilovich is a fool, and he's clumsy. He falls down at such inappropriate times. Often one is in the middle of a sentence to him.
But yet your father promised you to him.
What is to become of us?
I will remain at the palace until your wedding.
Promise me, oh, promise.
I promise.
I will go to my father and say I do not wish to be married until I am 20.
Vaninka Yablushka.
Fyodor Petrovich.
And then, the next day, a small thing happened. Gregory Litnoy, a servant in the palace, spilled some soup on the handsome new gown of Vaninka, which ruined it. Beet stains being impossible to remove at this time, which caused Vaninka to become furious.
Flog him! Flog him!
Mercy! Mercy!
Take him out of here! I will tell Fyodor, and he will see that this serf is flogged.
And you remember what happened. A few days later, Fyodor supervised the serf flogging, while Vaninka watched from her second-story apartment, proud of the way her Fyodor gave the commands. However, a few days later, when the serf Gregory was able to get around again...
Come in. Come in. Now, get up. Get up, Gregory Litnoy. So, how are your wounds from the flogging?
Ivan the flogger laid the knout into my back, and where I am muscled, else I should be dead.
Well, you deserve to be whipped.
Yes.
Now, what is it? Now, why have you come for an audience? Do not things go well in the kitchen? What?
They go well in the kitchen as they go well elsewhere, Excellency.
Then what?
Oh, how well.
What are you talking about?
Down the corridor where your daughter's apartment is, they go best of all. She and Fyodor Petrovich...
Swine! What foul word?
No, no, listen.
Yes, I'll listen, and then, hound of a man, I'll skin you alive.
If my words are false, lay the knout against me till it takes away all the skin, but only listen.
Speak, then.
Even now, Excellency, Vanyinka and the lieutenant, lovers, that sing to each other while Anushka, the maidservant, pours them wine and prepares all manner of things. No! No, no lashes, Excellency. Do not whip me till you have seen with your own eyes.
Yes, I will see. And I will tell you this. If it is true what you say, and if Fyodor Petrovich is in the apartment of Vaninka...
You will flog her?
Till her death.
And him?
Till his death.
I open the door for you, Excellency.
The whip the general was carrying was a boar hide and covered with brass studs. It had been his favorite since his days at the academy, when he was given to stopping serfs in the street and making of them living examples of his skill with the whip. Now he was on his way to visit his daughter.
Coming up this Wednesday night on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, an hour of adventure. The Lux Radio Theater doesn't bring us a movie, but a story written right for the show called The China Run. Then it's Broadway with the Best Plays series, premiering Skylark on radio. This Thursday, June 15th at 10, it's Horror from Inner Sanctum and The Lights Out Show, followed by Sci-Fi at 11 from episodes of 2000 Plus and X-1.
All right, you caught me. I'm a Mocklin.
You stole my clothes.
Why did you do it? We Mocklins like humans so much, I thought it would be nice to make a trip to Earth and see more humans.
How come he looks like me?
My parents planned it 5 years ago when you came here first. They made me look like this wonderful human and hid me till now.
You give me back my clothes.
Well, of course, of course. I wouldn't want to make any difficulties for humans.
Enjoy these shows Wednesday, June 14th and Thursday, June 15th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. Or if you'd like to get a head start on past old-time radio episodes on the show, you can listen via our website to our second stream of old-time radio, which is on from 8 to 10 on WRVO2. This Monday, June 12th in 1939, a really unique and no doubt patriotic program was heard on NBC called I Am an American, broadcast from the Hollywood Bowl. It featured film and radio actor Edward Arnold, who would later be associated with being the voice of America's presidential past on the air, where he portrayed many different presidents on the show Mr. President. Arnold and co-host Ralph Morgan were joined by an audience of thousands and a 750-member chorus, and it was an effort to drum up support for the I Am an American movement, co-founded by Arnold and composer Benjamin Edwards Neal. And the group's mission was to bring together liberal and conservative citizens alike to the understanding that while we all come from different places and backgrounds, we did have the ability to unite as a country amid that group's feeling of devalued citizenship in a late 1930s America. Some historians believe that the group fell in line with the aftermath and demise of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal that had brought the country out of the Great Depression and formed many statutes and laws that were oppressive from everyone from the corporate banker to the local farmer. And with the country's involvement in the Second World War looming, the group's co-founder, Benjamin Neal, proposed an I Am an American Day to push for the support of their message of unity at a time where members of the group felt they were living in a disjointed society. And the I Am an American group practically got its wish after December of 1941, where the U.S. entered World War II and did have to band together to fight the Axis forces overseas. So the group then dissolved, but not without leaving an interesting piece of radio history. Here's some sound from the dramatic portion of the I Am an American broadcast from June 12, 1939.
Some arguments we heard have been pretty convincing, and some, the shouting, well, has been pretty loud.
Dad, some of those men who shout want to do away with all we have and make it all different.
Yes, they use pretty strong language.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
That's what most of us Americans are thinking right now. We see how things are going in other parts of the world, and we say to ourselves, it mustn't be that way here.
Well, if things are wrong, we've got to make them right, don't we?
Americans are strange people, Ralph. A new kind of people who find that living in peace with his neighbor is a very comfortable way to live. He has a weapon that is a match for any kind that is used against him. It's called tolerance. That sounds like a pretty ineffective weapon, doesn't it? But it really isn't.
But we can't just sit back and let the other fellow get his way, can we?
But if you fight him with his own weapons, then you become like him. Dictators first make people hate another kind of people, and on that hatred, they rise to power. Over here, we don't get mad so easily. We've been watching the world. We've been seeing what intolerance can do, and we don't like what it has done.
Yes, but what about all those men we read about who want us to take up arms and fight certain classes?
Yes, yes, there have always been men who want to do that. History is full of them. But they never amount to anything unless they can get rid of tolerance and make a lot of people hate the way they hate.
What are we going to do?
This is still a democracy. Back of it all is a great population that reaches from coast to coast. That's us. We live and die and listen and think and vote. We never put it into words, but we're the ones that count in spite of all the big gestures that important men make. We till the fields, we work at our business, we work in the factories. Sometimes those big fellows ignore us and think we don't count. And then we come along with the vote, and they wake up to realize they made a mistake about us. Oh, we criticize a lot and we express dissatisfaction about many things, but I don't think that's so very strange. I've always said that the beginning of things for a man or a country is dissatisfaction. If your ancestors weren't dissatisfied with George V and his ministers, we wouldn't be a nation today. But when we're really faced with the reality of things, every darn one of us says the same thing. I am an American. I belong to a nation that touches two oceans, and between those two lie forests and farms and cities, great cities and vast deserts. But beauty alone isn't enough, nor numbers of people. It's the heart of America that you must find. And where does that heart beat? In all of us who believe in the future, in all of us who have faith that people are basically good, that out of the goodness of our forefathers came the two greatest documents on the face of the earth, the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm an American, and I believe that my country marches towards a future that shall ensure the best of the greatest number. That is democracy. And I believe that I'm a compatriot of the most humble citizen and a partner to the most important. In these times, it is easy to hate. And yet, where in all history has hatred solved a problem for humanity? No, I won't hate. Hatred is not a part of the American way.
Are we to be indifferent to things?
No. That is the greatest of all sins. You have a heritage, a debt not only to those who have gone before, but a debt to those who must come after. You must take this priceless heritage and preserve it, better it, honor it, and defend it. It is now your responsibility. Love the soil of America, but respect those who love other soils. Believe in what is right for America, but respect those who believe does not agree with yours. Be a part of the future, but don't forget that the future is only a maturing of the past. And when you are alone, say to yourself, I'm an American, and thank God in heaven that you are. What time do you have to be there, Tom?
Oh, gee, Dad, I've got to go right now.
Oh, Tom, here's a present for you. Happy birthday.
It's a new blue necktie.
You like it?
Gee, it's swell, Ralph. Thanks.
Tom, could I go along with you?
You mean to the bowl? You want to watch me take the oath?
Maybe I could take it with you.
Oh, and it's only for those who are 21.
Well, I'm 23. That ought to let me in, don't you think so, Dad?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, come on, Ralph. So long, you two.
Ralph.
Yes, Dad.
I'm awfully glad.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, son.
Now, I made that dessert especially for Tom. John.
Huh?
I didn't know you felt that way about being an American.
Well, you know, Mother, I never really thought it out before. You know, I'm sort of glad I said it. I've been so used to it that I never thought what a wonderful thing it is to be an American.
This Friday night on the air, on Tune to Yesterday, June 16th at 10, it's Westerns. We'll hear Gunsmoke and The Way West. That's the story on the Hallmark Playhouse. After that, sitcoms for an hour, The Life of Riley and the Aldrich Family. The Saturday night, June 17th, comedy from the Gulf Screen Guild Theater, then Favorite Story from 1948. And the Saturday night at 11, an hour of drama from broadcasts of Peril and the Hallmark Playhouse.
Love. That's a strange word, Mary. There are two kinds of love. One is like a cut flower that withers and dies. The other is like your love, Mary. Strong like a tree. Make sure you get that kind of love. Your kind of love. Love like winds is helpless and mute. It never shouts out across great time and space. With people like Wynn, only fear and self-desire are strong.
Hear these shows Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th, live on the air from 10 to midnight on TuneT Yesterday. And if you'd like to hear past episodes of the show, just visit our website. You probably already know this if it's in your iTunes queue, but they're also available at the TuneT Yesterday section at WRVO.org. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks a lot for listening to the TTY Dialer. If you have any questions for me about old-time radio or comments about this podcast, TuneT Yesterday, or anything else old-time radio related, just get a hold of me by email. My address is mark at wrvo.org. That's M-A-R-K at wrvo.org. I'll be back next week with more radio history and fun with sound from the past.